Saga Egmont presents Gold Dragon by J.J. Marsh, read by Jessica Preddy. To Maria Fátima Lima, my dear Portuguese amiga. Chapter 1. The least Hong Kong could have done to welcome Olivia after travelling over 3 continents via 5 airports was to bring out the sun. Instead, weather and light levels were exactly as she had left them in northern Brazil. Relentless, dispiriting rain and miserable darkness. Kwan Chung Street in Sim Cha Sui, she told the taxi driver, making an effort to sound in control, despite her jet lag.
Chungking Mansions?
Not in a million years, mate.
Sorry?
Nothing, she muttered, and gave him the piece of paper with the address to clear up any ambiguity. Kwan Chung Street, number 7. Please.
Okay.
He handed back the paper and lurched into the traffic. Olivia was transfixed by the lights. Everywhere was colour, blurred by watery windows, but bright and alive and buzzing with energy. She'd reached that phase beyond tired, where delirium was waiting in the wings. So many people, so much traffic, a total disconnection from the time of day, she had the impression she'd landed on an alien planet with no idea what was going on. The cabbie's radio was playing something frantic and incomprehensible, a suitable soundtrack to her state of mind. She could not think about the past or the future, neither distant nor recent, merely focusing her attention on the immediate present. She needed a safe place to hide and sleep, or she would collapse from exhaustion. Of the 4 flights, she'd only booked first class on 1 intercontinental. Brasilia to Addis Ababa was a 12-hour stretch, and her full-length seat was comfortable and quiet. The fact her brain refused to rest was certainly not the fault of the solicitous aircrew. A 5-hour gritty-eyed layover in the Ethiopian capital persuaded her to splash out on an upgrade on the next leg. She would sleep until Bangkok, even if that meant consuming free champagne until she passed out. Now she was hungover, disoriented, and if she never saw another airport in her life, she could die happy. Endlessly changing electronic billboards assaulted her eyeballs, and the synthetic wafts from the scented palm tree over the driver's mirror gave her a headache. She was about to burst into tears when the constantly lane-changing, braking, and rapid accelerations came to a halt.
Kwan Chung, number 7.
She paid him in US dollars with a tip and a silent prayer she would never suffer his driving again. Just in case, she waited till the cab had driven away before crossing the street to her actual destination, the Lucky Bee Residences. She lugged her backpack into the 3-star hotel, checked in on a fake passport, and paid for 3 nights in advance. Then she took a shower, drank 0.5 liter of bottled water, secured her room, and embraced oblivion for 14 hours straight. When she did regain consciousness, it seemed impossible anyone could sleep through such a racket. Traffic, horns, music, shouting from the street below and the rooms above, along with the on-off clatter of the air conditioning unit outside her window, came as such a contrast to her quiet shack on the beach, she actually clamped her pillow around her head. The gesture was partly symbolic. As so often when her conscious mind was at rest, her subconscious was busy connecting random associations and images into a wildly incomprehensible narrative. Flashes of her dreams returned, open to interpretation if she could only recall the detail. Fish? Yes. There'd been a brightly coloured fish with long iridescent blue stripes. He was trying to show her the way. He darted around her legs, glinting with promise, leading her deeper underwater, as eager and helpful as Nemo. She dived, trusting her neon guide, only to encounter a welter of black, suckered tentacles intent on grasping vulnerable prey. When she opened her mouth to scream, salt water rushed into her lungs. She threw off the pillow and sat up in bed, taking deep breaths. The worst thing about such dreams was waking up before seeing what happened in the end. She told herself.